Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome. Great to see such a large contingent of people here, and the hall seems to be basically full. Such is the interest in space research and development, especially, I think, human space research and development, and especially when we can be spoken to tonight by one of our own. The lecture tonight is sponsored jointly by the Wackett Aerospace Centre here at RMIT and also by the National Space Society of Australia. The NSSA is a proactive space organisation and it's affiliated with the National Space Society in the United States, which is probably the leading pro-space activist organisation in the US. And they lobby both politically and within the public arena for expenditure of more money and resources on space research and development. Turning to our guest tonight, Dr. Andrew Thomas, and he's asked me tonight but I can call him Andy, was born on the 18th of December 1951 in Adelaide. He's single, he enjoys horse riding and jumping, mountain biking, running, windsurfing and classical guitar playing. I don't think he has a great deal of time for any of those pursuits at the present time, but no doubt when his space responsibilities are a little less, he'll return to those. Andy received a Bachelor of Engineering degree in Mechanical Engineering with First Class Honours from University of Adelaide in South Australia in 1973 at the ripe old age of 22, and a doctorate in mechanical engineering from the same university in 1978. He began his working career with Lockheed Aeronautical Systems in Marietta in Georgia in the United States in 1977. And he worked with them until 1989, when he moved to Pasadena in California to join the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or JPL. It's JPL which last year brought us the Mars Pathfinder spacecraft, which landed on Mars with that little a rover called Sojourner. He was then appointed leader of the JPL program for microgravity materials processing in space, and this NASA-sponsored research included scientific investigations conducted in the laboratory and in low gravity on NASA's KC-135 aircraft, sometimes known as the Vomit Comet, as well as technology studies to support the development of the spaceflight hardware for future shuttle missions. He was selected by NASA in March 1992, and in August 1993, following a year of training, he was appointed a member of the Astronaut Corps and was qualified for assignment as a mission specialist on space shuttle flights. In June 1995, he was named as payload commander for STS-77 and flew his first flight in space in Endeavour in May 1996. Endeavour is the latest space shuttle, the one that was built to replace the Challenger, which was lost in the accident in 1986, and indeed named after an American-wide school children's competition after Captain Cook's ship Endeavour. So Captain Cook is known in the United States as well as over here. Andy next trained at the Gagarin Cosmonaut Training Centre in Star City outside Moscow in Russia in preparation for a long-duration flight, and that took place earlier this year, as most of you will know, when he served as board engineer 2 aboard the Russian space station Mir for 130 days, or a little over 4 months. The STS-77 mission was a 10-day mission during which the crew deployed 2 satellites, tested a large inflatable space structure in orbit, and conducted a variety of scientific experiments. The flight was launched from the Kennedy Space Centre in May 1996 and completed 160 orbits. At a distance of 153 nautical miles above the Earth, and it logged 240 hours of time in space. And of course, most recently, on the 22nd of January this year, Dr. Thomas was launched aboard the space shuttle Endeavour again as part of the STS-89 crew, and following the docking with the Russian Mir space station on the 25th of January, That marked the official start of his 130 days in space. He returned aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery on the 12th of June this year. And he tells me that at the end of this month, he's going back to the United States for even more of it. We held an emergency meeting of the organising committee late yesterday afternoon in order to decide whether astronaut or not, we should ask Dr. Thomas to return to Adelaide on the plane with the Crows following the incident that occurred at the MCG yesterday afternoon. I mean, them winning the flag once is okay occasionally, but back-to-back premierships, it's really a bit much for us Melburnians to cope with. Anyway, sanity prevailed and he's with us tonight. When the first Australian-born astronaut, Dr. Paul Scully Power, went into orbit, I think in about 1985, he had to renounce his Australian citizenship and become an American citizen. The same situation happened when Andy was first working in the United States and when he became an astronaut, but the Australian government, in a remarkably sensible move, subsequently restored his Australian citizenship. And he tells me that, in the words of the late Peter Allen, musician and piano player, he still calls Australia home. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dr. Andrew Thomas.